Hello from the newsroom of the Financial Times in London. I'm Suzanne Blimpson, and this is News in Focus, where we offer our insights into the global news stories that matter. Fiat Chrysler Automobiles has unveiled a proposed €32.6 billion all-share merger with Renault that would reshape the global automotive industry. David Oakley discusses how the deal came about and how it will affect Renault's proposed tie-up with Nissan, with Arash Masoudi and Peter Campbell.
Arash, tell us about the two men who engineered the deal. When did their talks start, and how did the deal come together?
Okay, you have to take a step back and just imagine that in the last 3 or 4 years in the car industry, all the major players were talking to each other. Part of this thesis was driven by the former CEO, the late CEO of Fiat Chrysler Automobiles, Sergio Marchionne, who passed away last July, but had written this manifesto called Confessions of a Capital Junkie, where he called for consolidation for a number of reasons in the car industry. And he was, in many ways, the chief confidant of John Elkann, who runs the Agnelli family empire through an investment vehicle called Exor, which is the dominant shareholder in Fiat Chrysler. And so with Marchionne's death, Elkann really steps into this role that normally would have been played by any number of special executives brought in by the Agnelli family over the years to help exercise their interests. But Elkann really stepped into this role and then began taking charge and making a series of moves. One of those moves was to begin conversations with Renault about various things. Those conversations really took off when Jean-Dominique Senard was brought in January to become the Renault chairman and stabilize the company, which had been going through a tumultuous period after the arrest of Carlos Ghosn in Tokyo in November. The meetings between Senard and Elkann took place throughout the spring in Paris and Turin at their various homes. And then in the last few weeks, what began as talks about a cooperation and a broader partnership really shifted into something else, which was a full merger.
Did Carlos Ghosn have any role in trying to put together such a merger when he was head at Renault-Nissan?
Peter and the rest of the team who's been covering the Ghosn fallout reported in March that Nissan had looked at FCA in the past 3 years, and something that was pushed by Ghosn. It's not clear to what extent he actually wanted to do that, but at the time, he was very much more focused on combining Renault with Nissan. When it became clear that that deal was not possible to Senard, who had replaced Ghosn, the conversations with Elkann really took off. And in Senard, Elkann found someone who was more mild-mannered, who was more classically European, traditional, very smooth and diplomatic, not an egomaniac, not a big character, which is typically what defines many of the big auto chief executives. Ghosn would certainly be seen as someone who was an imperious character. And so in Senard, there was someone who was much easier to deal with. And I think that probably played a major role because Elkann's manner is very sort of genteel and European and, if you want, aristocratic. And so that dynamic probably helped make this happen. So you could actually say the absence of Ghosn and to some extent maybe even the absence of Marchionne made this deal easier to engineer.
So where does that lead us? What are the terms and what will be the balance of power between each side?
So it's a 50-50 stock deal. So the shareholders in Fiat Chrysler will have 50% stake in the new company, which will be a Dutch registered company, and Renault shareholders will have 50%. That essentially means that everyone's shareholdings in the two existing companies will be cut in half. So Exor will become the most dominant shareholder with about a 15% stake. The French state and Japan's Nissan, which have 15% of Renault, they will have 7.5% in the new company. And then there will be others who have a smaller stake. But that's largely the three dominant shareholders. That's why John Elkann will become the non-executive chairman of the company. And at least for the time being, it's believed that Senard will become the chief executive. But we'll see how that shakes out over the coming years.
On the broader theme, what will this deal mean for the industry? And can we expect further consolidation?
Yeah, I think the message is yes, but the trick is it's very hard. The industry is beset with big egos, with national pride, with unions, with manufacturing jobs, and the core thesis behind this is shutting down factories and firing people. So that is a really hard thing to swallow. Layer that in with the fact that you're getting some kind of scale through consolidation, layer that in with governments that will want to say and to try to protect their jobs. And so you have a very difficult dynamic. Now, concurrently to these talks with Renault, Fiat was talking to Peugeot of France, and obviously those talks have fallen apart. So Peugeot is looking stilted at the altar a bit. So the question is, what do they do next? And Nissan, which at the moment just looks like a basket case, is also left with some questions to ponder upon for the future. But all the major car companies are watching this with great interest at the moment.
So, Peter, can we then turn to what do we think will the cost savings be? And will this mean job losses that Arash alluded to?
So the terms that FCA set out yesterday were quite clear in the deal. They envisage being able to do this merger without any plant closures. Now, that may sound ambitious, but remember a few years ago, PSA, Peugeot, took over Opel and said they would have a turnaround program, an integration program that involved no plant closures. And broadly, they haven't closed any plants. So it's certainly possible to do that. FCA talked about possible cost savings of around 5 billion euros from combining various things such as purchasing and R&D with Renault. But what they're most likely to do is to avoid additional cost. One of the reasons car makers are trying to tie up is because so many of them have such massive investment costs in future technology. You think about something like electric vehicles, something like driverless technology. And Sergio Marchionne's answer to all of this was it's much better for car makers to pool their resources and spend this money together rather than all duplicating their investment. And so what this does mean is that FCA and Renault, if they come together, will only have to spend one lot of money on developing electric vehicles rather than, say, two. Now, Renault is already the European leader in electric vehicles. It has the biggest selling electric model in Europe. And Fiat Chrysler is generally regarded as a laggard in electric technology, and so will hopefully be able to take in some of Renault's electric technology. So they'll be looking for cost savings in various areas such as that.
And how much will this merger weaken Nissan's position within the alliance with Renault?
Currently, the way that the alliance is set up is that Renault and Nissan each have equal representation on the alliance operating board. So there's two seats for Japan, that's Nissan and Mitsubishi, and two seats for France, that's the Renault CEO and the Renault chairman, who's Jean-Dominique Sonnard. And what this will undoubtedly mean, we don't know what this will mean for the alliance board, but it's almost certainly going to mean that FCA has a seat at that table. It means that Nissan's influence in overall terms will decrease across the alliance. But actually, the view is that Nissan may perceive parts of this deal as incredibly positive for them. One of the conditions that FCA set during these talks with Renault was that any plans to merge Renault and Nissan should be shelved for the time being in order to let Nissan, and to some extent Renault as well, focus on their core business, because Nissan's core business is not in great shape. It's seeing a huge slide in its sales in the US. It's seeing falls in China. It's really struggling in some of its global operations. And a lot of the fallout of the Carlos Ghosn arrest and the questions over the future of the alliance and all the shenanigans about would they merge, would they not merge, has been distracting Nissan's management and frankly Renault's management as well from the day-to-day operations of the business. So the hope is that by putting that issue to bed for the time being, it will allow Nissan to focus on their day-to-day operations. And that certainly is one thing that's been put in there to try and win over Nissan to supporting this deal.
In short, then, there could be benefits for Nissan in this new alliance. What would the key one be?
So in the long term, what FCA is open to doing is having a full-on merger with Nissan, which would create, by a very long way, the world's largest car company with around 15 million sales. And that would give them huge scale and therefore enormous potential to invest in a lot of the new future technology and much greater resilience in a very cyclical and bumpy industry to be able to weather the storms. Now, that's more long term. In the short term, certainly what Nissan would hope is that it just takes the potential of a merger with Renault off the table. It lets them focus on their business, which is something they need to do in order to be able to remain competitive in the future.
Turning to another very important stakeholder in this, how have investors responded? What has their view been so far?
So if you purely look at the share prices of FCA and of Renault both rose incredibly strongly yesterday on Monday when the deal was announced. Both rose more than 10%. Investors see this broadly as positive. But there are lots of questions over the deal. There are lots of questions over whether car makers need to have global scale, which this will give the companies, or whether it's better to focus on getting scale and sort of heft in individual regions, like someone like Peugeot has done with the Opel deal. Because what this won't give Renault or FCA is much greater scale in any of their given regions. They have a bit of overlap in Europe. Their market share at the end of this deal will be about 16% in Europe, so it increases their stake there. But in terms of their share in other markets, there isn't a great deal of overlap. So they won't be the biggest player in any of the major global markets they operate in. And so there's a question about whether they really need regional scale or whether they need global scale. Lots of other questions around mergers and particularly auto mergers that cross borders in general around company cultures. We've seen a lot of mergers in the past. The famous one is Daimler Chrysler. Go on for a few years and then just collapse because they don't work. That's almost never because of industrial issues or political issues. It's almost always because of deeply ingrained cultural issues. Car companies are very cultural animals, often rooted in the country that they're headquartered in. And so trying to pull together a company that has not just Italian and US culture from Fiat Chrysler, but French culture from Renault and ultimately possibly Japanese culture from Nissan, that's quite a melting pot if you're trying to put it all together.
So there are a lot of questions over this deal. You've mentioned some, but do you foresee any particular hurdles? Is it the cultural? Is it the regulation? Is it the politics that could prevent this tie-up?
The biggest one at the moment is whether Renault agrees to it. So while Renault's chairman, Jean-Dominique Senard, has been in talks with Elkann for a long time over this and in recent weeks about the merger, and FCA has put this proposal to Renault, Renault still has to agree to it. The French state, who own 15% of Renault but have double voting rights, still have to agree to it. Nissan, even though they don't have a blocking vote on this, still need to agree. You have the Italian government saying that it wants to protect Italian jobs. The French government will want to protect French jobs. It's going to be very political. We still don't know what the implications of this deal are for the specifics of Renault's relationship with Nissan, particularly if it'll affect some of their past contracts together. And so there are a lot of things that could potentially derail the deal, so it's not a slam dunk by any measure. But the language of FCA and the fact that their leaders have worked closely with Renault's leaders over the last few weeks to nail this down does at least suggest that there is goodwill on both sides, and both of them, it is in their interest to do this deal and to make it work.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Arash.
That was David Oakley, our industry news editor, talking to Arash Masoodi, corporate finance and deals editor, and Peter Campbell, motor industry correspondent. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, if you missed our recent episodes on Russia's attempt to foster homegrown industrial champions, the European parliamentary elections, and how oil companies are responding to investor pressure to reduce carbon emissions, you can find them all on the usual podcast platforms.